If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. If you recall, we have slowed down this series to take a look at each one of the items separately listed there in 5 to 7. In your bulletins, you should find an extra homework paper that we've been putting in with each one of these items. For those of you who want to take it deeper, making every effort, you'll find that there. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 5 to 9. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word, we acknowledge again our need of you to plant it in our hearts, for it to take root, to grow and to bear fruit. Lord, that is our desire. Would you draw near to us now and open up the treasures of your word that we may hear it and obey it. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we come to the halfway point in our list of attributes that Peter tells us to make every effort to add to our faith. We started with virtue, then we had knowledge, then self-control, and today we come to steadfastness. We are to make every effort to add steadfastness to our faith. I should say, the Christian faith is one of action. We live by the grace of God, we rest in the grace of God, and that grace is seen by our obedience, our life, our action. It's gospel, therefore go. Right? That's the pattern. We shouldn't be a passive people. There should be a vibrancy and energy in the people of God. God is a God of the living, after all. Every effort ought to be the joy of the Christian. This isn't a tedious command. Every effort should be the joy of the Christian. We shouldn't be afraid of the hard work. Okay, so steadfastness. What is steadfastness? It sounds pretty good, right? Like, I think I want to be known as a steadfast person. I would take that as a compliment. But what is it exactly? What are we talking about? To be steadfast is to be stable, steady, calm, and even-tempered, no matter what happens. A person who is steadfast remains firm in their beliefs and convictions no matter what is happening around them. To be steadfast is to be fixed, not subject to change, firm in belief and determination, being loyal, faithful. In the Bible, steadfastness signifies an unwavering faith, resilient, and a firm commitment to God and His principles, no matter what. Steadfastness looks to God and not to the circumstances. And it is anchored in the unchangeable word of God, no matter the cost, no matter the results, the risks, or the reputation. Steadfast. Now, here's just a bit of a side note. We won't be able to get into this, but I want to just put this in your mind. The Bible makes a clear distinction between being steadfast and being stubborn. Amen? They're not the same. Just as being loyal and being stiff-necked are not the same. They will often look to be kind of similar. There's strength there, but they're not the same. The difference between steadfastness and stubbornness is the difference between a soft heart and a hard one. Only one can be done by faith. Only one can be added to faith. And we're not going to go into all of that, but it's a good question to keep in mind and ask yourself. Am I being steadfast, or am I just being stubborn? From what heart does your strength come from? That's a good question. The steadfastness that we are after is the kind that is added to faith. It's a particular kind. And the Bible tells us that this kind of steadfastness results in persevering in your trials. We read that in James chapter 1. You persevere in your trials. And it tells us there that steadfastness in our trials results in character. It results in confidence no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are going through. And you all know there are some things in this life to go through. But here's your ticket. First little takeaway. A steadfast person does not see the devil in every trial. A steadfast person sees God in every trial and submits to his will. There is a good God in my trial. A steadfast person sees him. Now, Jeremiah 17, verse 8. Jeremiah 17, 8. That's an excellent text to look at when thinking about steadfastness, and I'm going to use it today as a bit of a guide into this attribute. You can turn there. Out of the picture that Jeremiah gives us, we're going to kind of glean some things of what it means and how we become steadfast in our faith. We're going to find four things. We're not exegeting that text, but we're using it as a bit of a picture to help frame the things that we'll be learning about being steadfast. So Jeremiah 17, verse 8. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is a description of biblical steadfastness. It's beautiful. This is what it looks like. And from this picture, from this metaphor of being like a deep-rooted, fruitful tree planted by the water, we're going to highlight four things that make up a strong tree. And we will highlight seed, soil, water, and light. That makes a strong tree. Seed, soil, water, and light. We want to be like a strong tree. This metaphor is actually all over scriptures. You find that all over the place. Deeply rooted, fruitful, resilient through the storms, bearing fruit in season and out, even in times of drought. So let's use this picture as a guide to understand steadfastness. First thing we need in order to be a strong tree, to be a steadfast person, is good seed. We need good seed. Every great tree began as a seed. And for us, what is that seed that is sown in our hearts? The seed of the Word of God. We need the Word. Now, this metaphor you see again and again, the seed of the Word being planted and then growing up into a harvest, a fruitful tree, a biblical theme, and makes us think of the parable of the sower, who Jesus says is sowing the seed of the Word. Okay, so we need good seed. Now, here's an obvious question to ask. What seed is being sown in your heart? What is the message that is being repeatedly planted in your mind day after day? An obvious question, but not always an obvious answer. We might say, yes, it's the Word of God. It is. That's what's being planted in my mind. But if you examine closer, I think for many of us, the truth might be closer to this kind of seed. I don't like how things are going in my life. I'm afraid of tomorrow. I don't want to confess my sins. I don't like how I look. I need more money. Where is God? Things like that. Right? Don't those thoughts fill our minds day after day? Isn't that often the seed that is being planted in your heart time and again? And I say these things because they're in my heart too. I'm not always brave, not always content. What am I planting in my heart and my mind day after day? Is it good seed? What would I see if I really examined my heart? What am I planting? Is it wheat and weeds at the same time? Steadfastness comes from knowing the truth of the Word of God. James tells us that we need to receive the Word that has been planted in our hearts, James 1:21. 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. Is that what's being planted? We need it planted in our hearts, good seed. If we're going to make every effort, then we need to examine what we're planting in our heart day by day. Sometimes I can catch myself. I'll pray for 2 minutes and then grumble for all the rest of my waking hours because my trial is bothering me. What am I planting? What am I planting in my heart? All throughout my day. Sometimes you're surprised if you take stock. What am I planting in my heart? Oh, wow, I have been meditating on my fears and my misery. And it hasn't been the Word after all. Be sure to be planting the seed of God's Word daily in your heart, which brings us to the second thing that we need for a tree to grow strong. That's good soil. That's the heart in which the seed is planted. You need good soil. In order to grow in steadfastness, like a tree planted by the water after getting good seed through the Word, is that we also need good soil to plant it in, a heart that is willing to receive the Word. So just as we ask if you're planting good seed in your heart, we also ask, are you willing to receive the Word that is being planted? Are you willing to receive it? Simple questions, difficult answers. How willing are you to accept the Word? And I don't mean just listen to it. That part is the easy part. You can come here and listen to a sermon for 40 minutes, right? That's not that hard. That's not what I mean by a willing heart. A willing heart means humble obedience. God doesn't tell us these things in the Word for us just to hear but not obey. The purpose of knowledge is action. God tells us something so that we will believe it, that we will act upon it. A willing heart, good soil, results in obedience. There's that purpose that comes with knowledge, and that is obedience. And through that, God is glorified, and we are made more into the image of Christ. Okay, so I say that, yes, I have a willing heart. I have good seed. I'm putting that in. I have a willing heart. I want it. That's good. Now examine a little closer. The mirror of the soul always has to come out. What if the Word is, confess your sins one to another? How am I doing now? How willing am I to receive that Word, to step into the light? What if the Word is to consider others more important than myself? Well, in this area, I really think that my way is best. And so I wish they would apply that verse to them and let me get my... Am I willing to receive the Word? What happens when you go through a trial? Pick your most difficult trial, whatever it is that you got right now. You got it? Hear the Word of the Lord. Rejoice in suffering. Can you receive that Word? Or do you say, what does that even mean? How willing is my heart to receive this Word, turn the other cheek. Pray together. How are we doing? How about this? The Word of the Lord says, give of your money, but don't just give. Give generously. Can you receive the Word? Is your heart willing to receive? Or is there more stone in there than you may have realized? Can I really say that I have a heart that is willing to receive the Word? These things that we're looking at and adding steadfastness reveal our inner secrets very quickly. How can you become like a tree well planted if you don't have good seed, if you don't have good soil? You'd be fooling yourself to think, I'm a strong and mighty tree. I'm deeply rooted, when routinely you're unwilling to receive the word of the Lord, or you want to receive the easier words of the Lord, and the difficult ones you'd rather not. How willing am I? And if I'm being honest with myself, I look myself in the mirror, I can see that I'm often not nearly as willing as I like to think that I am. There's stubbornness in here, not steadfastness, stubbornness. And that soil of a good heart needs to be cultivated. It needs to be broken up with the gospel. It needs to have the gospel sown in it deeply, breaking through the hardness that is sometimes there. So let then this word break up hard hearts this morning. May the Lord make it so. You were dead in your sins. Dead. Absolutely and totally dead. Under the judgment of God. And you did not seek Him. No one seeks for God. No one does. Not one. Not you. Not me. None of us were seeking after Him. We were dead. But God, being rich in mercy, sent His Son before we had repented of anything to die in your place under that wrath, the wrath that was yours, and to bear your punishment on the cross so that He could rescue you. And in His love, He chose you. He rescued you. He chose me. What? He chose you. And because of His sacrifice, you who believe now this morning have full pardon from the sentence of death. And you've been given new hearts, peace with God, eternal life in heaven, from death to life. It's yours. From eternal agony to eternal joy. Oh, let that good seed of the gospel break up the hard ground of many hearts. Can you hear that and not be moved? Are you willing to receive the word? Let there be good soil. The third thing that we need for our tree of steadfastness to grow is for it to be well watered. As I'm drinking water. I didn't plan that. Remember our verse in Jeremiah, the roots of this tree go out to the stream. In order for the tree to grow strong, it needs a constant supply of water. And this means that the good word that is planted into your heart needs to be done consistently, again and again. You don't just take the word in one time or occasionally as the need arises. I'm under a trial. Oh, I'm going to pray now. Well, why wasn't I praying before? I had just as much need of the Lord. Am I well watered? Constantly in the stream, drinking the truth in. We need to be consistent with our intake. So as painful as it might be, we have to keep asking these hard questions. We want to make every effort, right? So then I ask myself, what do I repeatedly take in? Do I take in 5 minutes of the word? And then hours of sinful pursuits? Am I entertained by things that people go to hell for because it's called entertainment? What am I taking in? Do I hear the gospel? Do I hear it and not have it affect my heart in any meaningful way? Do I water the seed of the word with prayer? What do I repeatedly do day after day? Honestly now, we are under the examination of the word. This is why we slow down. If we had just said, everybody add steadfastness to your faith, you would think, I got to be strong. And that's about as far as it would go. But if you press in closer, you ask the question, how do I become strong? And then we start to see, I need good seed. I need good soil. I need to be well watered. This is good work to do. Repeated trips to the source, not just once or twice, but again and again. And we ask, am I bored with going over the same material? We mentioned this last time, the warning that Peter attaches to all of this, all that he's saying there. He ends that section with a warning. He says, the one who does not do this, who is not adding these things to their faith, they're not growing in them, that person becomes ineffective and eventually forgets their own salvation. Wow. We said last time, the heart that has or is growing bored with the repeated trips to the Word of God and into the stream is a heart that has begun to forget its own salvation. Imagine if you really believed, if I really believed that God rescued me from eternal hell, that out of His sovereign love, He chose me. Of all people, He chose you. He had you on His list before the world was even created. Your name was there. I'm coming for this one. This one is mine. This one will be rescued. This one, their sin is going to be paid for. Of all people, He chose you. His love for you is eternal, anchored in His own sovereign choice. Do you get bored with hearing that? Is it more exciting to eat lunch? What stirs your heart? Am I well watered, or do I deceive myself into thinking that I am? We need to hear that warning that Peter has for us. We must not forget the gospel. And the way we remember it is to hear it again and again, to drink deep and drink often. Have your faith strengthened and your desires shaped by the gospel. And this is done in daily reading of the Word, in prayer, and meditating on it day and night. Psalm 1, verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. James 1, 25, the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, he will be blessed in what he does. Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love your law. All day long it is my meditation. Here's a good one, Psalm 119, 148. These verses are all written down in your inserts if you're wanting to look them up. One translation has it this way. My eyes anticipate the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your word. Do you look forward to sleepless nights? Because they're an opportunity in the quiet to meditate on the word of God? I don't think I do. My eyes anticipate the watches of the night. There's time coming where I will have peace in my day, in my night, and I will meditate on the Word of God. It's my delight. Man, maybe I'm not so well watered as I thought. I want to send my roots deep into the stream. And we have this testimony in Scripture, day and night. Don't stop. We need good seed, good soil, a steady supply of water. And fourth, we need light. Our tree of steadfastness needs light. We need to come into the light to be examined, exhorted, encouraged, and challenged. We need one another. We need the church, that beautiful city on a hill that can't be hidden, that lamp on a lampstand, that light, the salt of the earth, the fellowship of the saints, the bride of Christ. Song of Solomon 6:10. Who is this who looks down like the dawn? Beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun, awesome as an army with banners. This is the bride, the church of the living God. We need to be known. This is a precious truth. We don't go to church. We are the church. We are the house of the Lord. We are His children, His family, His bride. Lamp on a lampstand. And God has instructed us to come together, worship together, pray together, care for one another, to be accountable, discipline, exercise the keys of the kingdom, and sometimes we are called to suffer together. All these are the blessings of the Lord, and we need it. Do you love the church? Christ calls it His bride. He loves her. He laid down His life for her, and He supplies her with what she needs. He washes her in the water of the Word, and he provides good deeds for her to adorn herself with. The good deeds of the saints. That is the bride adorning herself for her bridegroom. He is well pleased with her, and his name flies over her as a banner of love. Do you love the church? And sometimes you get that mistaken view. Someone will say, I love the church, I just really don't like the people all that much, right? I don't like being with the people. Well, the church is the people. If you don't love the people of God, you don't love the church, and more, you don't love God. 1 John 4:20. The life of the church is precious and it is powerful. We are not to be lone sheep trying to do things ourselves. It doesn't work. Flee the pride of being the lone sheep. It's nothing to be proud of. Humble yourself to the leadership and body of the local church. You're going to be tested and you're going to be blessed. So we've been asking these hard questions so far because we want to make every effort. We're slowing down to ask the tough questions. If I ask, or if you ask me, are you steadfast? I'd be like, yeah, I think so. And then you start to ask me some of these questions, and suddenly you're like, okay, maybe I actually have to think about this a little more closely. Do you love to have your faith and obedience tested and proven in the real life of the church? Do you love the tough questions that come your way on a Sunday morning? As we seek to obey the word and making every effort. Do you love to have it tested and proven in the real life of the church? Do you take communion in a worthy way? Do you love the light, or does it frighten you because of what it might reveal? Step into the light and be found out. Stop believing that the grace of God is insufficient for your secrets. Do not believe for one second that the grace of God is insufficient for your secrets, that your darkness is greater than his light. Draw near, and you will discover what is in your heart, as will others. Are you pleased at that thought? Are you eager to come into the light and be known? So we want to add steadfastness to our faith. And we use this metaphor of a tree, deeply rooted, fruitful, in season and out, planted by streams of water. It's a biblical picture. It's used over and over again in the scriptures. This idea of seed, soil, water, light, and then a harvest. There's good truth here. Which then brings us to James 1, 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. For steadfastness to be made perfect, it needs to be tested. That's the road. It needs to be put through the fire. That is the road that we all must take. One way or another, we will be tested. It has to be. God has made this path, and he's given a promise to go with it, a promise to not give you more than you can bear, despite what you may think. He does not give you more than you can bear. He provides a way out. There's a promise to conform you to the image of Christ, to bless you, to not turn away from doing you good. Jeremiah 32, 40. What a verse that is in the New Covenant. I will not cease to do them good. I will not cease to do them good. He says, with all my heart and soul, I will rejoice to do my people good. So that the God you know. Oh, there's steadfastness in knowing that. And God has revealed how he is going to do us good. How he's going to do it, and that is through discipline, trials, and testing. Those are not opposites. He says, I will do you good, and it's going to come through trials. Ah, That can be hard to hear. His blessing comes through testing. And to reject your trial, whatever it is, to resist it, to run from it, to refuse to learn from it, to refuse to give thanks in it and for it, is all to refuse the promise of God to do you good. God says, I will do you good. And you say, nope. That's what we are saying when we refuse the trial. It doesn't come without a promise, without purpose, without an end that God himself is going to see through. Can you see that? It's how we are made into the image of Christ. It's the package in which the blessing comes. As we make every effort, we need to understand that trials are a God-given part of our life, and they are never meaningless. They have purpose, everyone, the little ones to the big ones. They are not meaningless sufferings in a fallen world. These trials that you face have been deliberately crafted for you by the loving hand of God. And he packs them with promise and blessing. And he's gifted them to his chosen people, his very children. God knows how to give good gifts, and he does. The question is, do we know how to receive them? Do we see them as good? Or is it just another trial, another heartbreak? Where is God in all of this? Why? And we know why. The will of God for you is our sanctification, to be made like Christ, to glorify him, that we would be fruitful even in times of drought. And part of that fruit is joy. That's why. And he says, I'm giving it to you. This is the road. Let us not refuse the very blessings of God. He has shown us behind the scenes. If we didn't have that promise, what would you do with your trials? Yeah, I would think God is out to get me. The trials are painful. And then he pulls the curtain back and says, my child, this is what I'm doing. This is the promise for you. It is my gift. Do we know how to receive them in their proper light? And this is why James says, count it all joy when you face trials. God is perfecting you. He is showing you his glory, and he's making you like Christ. If we truly valued the things that God values, joy would be our daily lot in life. If we valued the word, a humble heart, an obedient life, fellowship with the saints, and the suffering that comes with all of it, we truly would be a happy people because we have the promise of God and his sovereign purpose to do us good in and through them. He will not relent in doing us good. What do you see in your trials? Do you see the devil in every trial, or do you see God in every trial? Do you just see your pain as real as it is? Or do you see your sanctification, your Christlikeness, God's blessing and favor upon you? Oh, yeah, this is tough. Steadfastness takes time. A tree doesn't become a tree overnight. It grows over time, and we're no different. We need to commit our lives to the things of God and then keep on the path. Submit to the training and discipline of the Lord. It's coming. This process of sanctification, God has decreed it this way. It is his gift. We want to stay on the path, submit to the training and the discipline of the Lord so that we would be ready when the trial comes. As the saying goes, when the fight comes, you don't rise to the level of your expectation, you fall to the level of your training. You think when the battle comes, I'm going to be steadfast, I'm going to be strong, that's my expectation. And then the diagnosis comes, and I fall to the level of my training, and I've trained myself to be afraid. I've trained myself to doubt God. But if we are well trained, then we will be like a tree well planted, fruitful in season and out, even in times of drought. You will be fruitful. From 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. Now you're talking. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's never meaningless. God doesn't sleep or slumber. We can't say, only if God was wise enough to have given me something yesterday. He misses nothing. He knows how to give good gifts, and he does. Do I receive it? As you come to know the word and allow it to grow in your heart, to take root, to shape the way you think, you will become steadfast, and more, you will have joy, because you know in whom you have believed, and you can trust him. So we are not stoic in our commitment. We're not stubborn or stiff-necked. It's not a stoicism. No, the promise is victory. It's life. It's reward. It's joy. There's a reward. There's a reason why we stand firm in our trials, is because it comes with a promise. A promise of joy and life. The victory has been won and the end is sure. And in that knowledge, our steadfastness becomes joyful. It's joyful. Because it is added to faith, which is what we're trying to do. Adding it to our faith. We are not stubborn, stoic, or hard-hearted. We are joyful, faithful, and content because we are anchored in the promises of God. Our steadfastness is added to faith through these things. And the motivation every day, you get up every day, the motivation is the promises of God. What he began in you, he will finish. This trial will not result in your destruction, but in your blessing. He gives a good gift. Can I be thankful when I don't feel it? May your faith be strengthened and your joy deepened and your confidence made sure as you seek to add steadfastness to your faith. Because you're like a tree planted by the waters, deeply rooted, fruitful, and utterly steadfast. James 1:2, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. This takes time. It takes effort. It takes every effort. So let us then make every effort to add steadfastness to our faith. The word, a humble heart, an obedient life, the fellowship of the saints, and the suffering. And then let the fruit grow. And by the promise and power of God, it will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that you have called us to this. And not just called us, but you have shown us the way, so that we would not need to fear when the lights go out and we enter the valley. For you have shown us the end. And you have promised to be with us. And all of it, Lord, you have not left us without. We have all we need for life and godliness. And Lord, we thank you for such promises and such power. For we are so quickly overwhelmed. And in our trials, Lord, we pray that you remember that we are dust. And we are weak. And we need you. Lord, we need to have our eyes and our hearts opened to receive your word. To rest in faith for what you have said. Lord, would you strengthen your people with this word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.